Ad Infinitum is the only podcast solely focused on audio ads.
Advertising.
The creators who make them and or the latest thinking that informs them, how the space is evolving, and my favorite part, a roundup of recent audio ads and analysis by yours truly, Stu Redwine, VP Creative at Oxford Road, and each episode's guest. This is episode 2, and its title is Hosts or People Too, discussing the importance of keeping in mind that these hosts are humans, and the copy points that you're sending over to them, and the way that you're onboarding them, and the way you want them to represent your brand, it's important to keep that aspect of it in mind, that it isn't just a transactional interface. And we're also going to rank 4 of the top spenders in podcasts this episode, and that's why our guest is a real host and a real person. Welcome, Jordi Micellis, one of the 3 founders of the Midas Touch Network and co-host of the Midas Touch podcast, amongst other things. Jordi, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Stu. It's so great to be here. I'm really excited for this. I love the title, The Host Are People Too. I'm ready to dive in. I got some thoughts on some ad copy. I'm excited to review some reads with you. Stu, I'm excited for this one.
I'm excited to have you on. And I was looking at PodScribe's performance benchmarks that they just put out at the end of last year. And from their lens of looking at it, and there's other sources out there as well, but looking at PodScribe's work, host reads continue to outperform produced ads, right? So that connection of you as a host reading the copy directly continues to outperform producer read ads or produced ads. Something else that's interesting in the same report by PodScribe is that the longer the read, performance increases as well. So up to 2-minute reads outperform 60-second reads by 20%. And this goes back to the old adage in like sales, like if you've ever done door-to-door sales or you know anybody that really has to like convince somebody to do something, you know, the more you tell, the more you sell. And that ties into some behavioral science knows there's some biases that we all have. And one of them is just the mere exposure effect, that the truth is the longer any human is exposed to any stimulus over time, not only do you become accustomed to it, you will develop affinity. If a host reads an ad, it's better. And the longer that host talks to me, it's better. And those are the things that we continue to see at play in the podcast space as a lean-in medium. Does that all check out with you and your experience?
I hear you on that, Stu. And I like that phrase that you use. The more you tell, the more you sell. But I'm going to add on to that. I say, the more you tell, the more you sell, as long as you are selling. If you begin to start rambling and get off message of what you're trying to pitch or what you're trying to sell and what you're trying to ultimately convert for the brand, I could see it having actually a negative downturn and consequence to the brand if you start to veer way too off topic from what the brand messaging truly is. As long as you can encapsulate it, if you could tie a bow around whatever you're trying to say, just as long as you're not continuing to ramble, because all of a sudden you might lose some of the audience that you're trying to convert for whichever brand or whichever sell you're trying to make. And I hear you on that. And I tend to agree that the more you tell, the more you sell. But me as a podcast host and the co-founder of a network, what I love is when these brands come to me and they get very specific with like the bullet points of what they want me to sell, right? The worst thing a brand can do in my book, and we can get into this, is send me a PDF and be like, here, learn for yourself. I like to approach this as a very, you know, mutual agreement, like a good, true partnership, if you will, where it's like, hey, I'm here to help you. You guys are helping the network by coming on. Let's all help each other. Let's all win. Let's all work together. And how best can we do that? Well, how do you want me to market whatever product we're selling here today? And as long as we can get clear on that and work together towards a common goal, I think that benefits the product.
It sounds like what you're looking for in the onboarding is more of a conversation than a transaction.
Yeah, I think that's true. Ultimately, what I love is when we do get to sit down with brands, even if it's just for 5 minutes, just to cover some top line, like, hey, can I go here? Can I? No. Okay. I want to know my boundaries, right? So then I can work within them. And then I know my audience better than anybody. So I know what they're going to be responsive to. And as long as I can understand where the brand wants me to go with that message, I can find a perfect world to sort of marry the two. So yeah, I love that notion of let's sit with the brand, even if it's a quick 5 minutes, just so I could see where their head's at with the campaign.
You make a great point. Like, what have you seen as a host and then for your network that does unlock those personal connections and those longer ad reads?
Yeah. So I'd say this, we're a pretty unique network here at the Midas Touch Network in the sense that we're very simulcast first, right? We rely heavily on our YouTube channel and our YouTube presence. We're doing over 250 million views a month. You know, that's 17, 18 million million views every 48 hours on the YouTube channel alone. We have 12 shows on the network, all of which are simulcasts, so meaning that they have the audio component inherently tied in. And what brands like Deceased do, to your point, what I've noticed in the space is that for each one of these shows, we don't do pre-roll producer read ads. Every ad that you see on the Midas Touch network, book it, guarantee it, lock it in. It's a host read mid-roll because ultimately those are converting the best. The audience loves to see the host because they develop such a strong relationship with them given the type of content that we produce on the channel. And we make it our mission here at the network not to just accept every and any brand that comes our way. We want to actually, you know, be able to back up that product, whether it's the goods and services or whatever the product value adds to somebody's life, that it actually follows through on that mission and that they're a top-notch company, which is very, very important to us. Every product I've ever marketed on the network, I've used, and so have my host, which is just a wonderful thing. So anytime you could have that close relationship with the brand where you're getting the product, you're getting the talking points, in a way, it doesn't even have to be a stringent script. Follow this exactly. It's, hey, give me your bullet points with a clear CTA that I know you want me to hit. Right? Give me just like a little bit of guidance of how you want me to talk about your brand and your product, and then I'll take it from here. And as long as we could have that sort of mutual understanding, I think I've seen the best success with it.
Where does it become challenging? Where's friction introduced into it for you as a host and for your network?
It's an interesting perspective I think I'm coming with you today. As the co-founder of the network and then also a host of a podcast on the network, I just need all of my brands to work with me on a relationship basis, right? I want open access to understanding, hey, how did the campaign, how has it performed for you? Where have you seen the successes? And as long as we can continue an open and honest dialogue about performance and what's worked for you as the brand in the past, let's work together here because, you know, I love taking the test campaigns and turning those into renewals and turning those into annuals. One, it's great for the brand. That means they're getting the sales. It's great for all the buying agencies involved because that's the job of the buying agencies is to locate the great podcasts that help convert. And it's great for the network as a network owner to help bring in the extra funds or whatnot to help us continue to operate, to employ our editors, our staff, etc. It's just a everybody wins mentality is the best approach for me.
Yeah. And I hear you in saying that, like the way that we get there, and I believe this too, is relationship, right? You're saying relationship. And it's like, when you think about the medium of audio, it's so inherently intimate. It creates connection. It's processed in the same part of the brain as emotion. It is the fastest of our senses. It colors everything else in a sense that when we enter that, our subconscious reaction to a sound, whether we want to engage or not engage, is in the upper 80s subconsciously, right? So when we hear these voices and hear these cues, these people that we know, the whole audio industry is built on relationship. And let's talk about our agency and then working with the Midas Touch Network. You know, you and I've talked on a handful of dog walks I've been on where I'm talking to you and we go off topic. We talk about what's going on in each other's lives. You know what I mean? And it's like, to me, there's this inherent inefficiency that's key to relationships, and that translates in a tactical sense into onboardings and stuff of like, hey, we could just make this all dynamically inserted and you guys just pre-record all the ads and we're about to listen to some and we might get a sense of what that sounds like. Or we can try to invest and be inefficient in order to build actual relationships, because that's what you're trying to do with your audience.
Totally. And the audience sees right through that. If you are just running ads to run ads, they're not going to convert. Right? They know when there's that personal touch that's involved. If you really back the product, if you could pick up and hold the product as you're doing the show, it's such an important relationship. And you'll never be able to get around this, as far as I've noticed in this space. Being kind of a quote unquote, maybe a newbie in the space as far as an ad sales component, I never realized a few things about the industry. One, like how incestual it is, like how everybody really knows everybody. And in certain cases, I think that's a wonderful thing, right? Because as long as you are a genuine person, which I really strive to be, and want to make these connections and make these relationships work, that gets passed on and people ultimately move from place to place or whatnot. And they're going to be there. They're going to remember, oh, hey, I like working with Jordy from the Midas Touch Network. And so anytime I've had that personal relationship with someone, I've seen my best campaigns perform, right? The other thing that's a very funny thing about the space that we'll just never be able to get around, and that's fine, I get it, is like the Excel sheet forward format of like, hey, we have to fill out this Excel sheet in order to understand your CPM or your X, Y, and Z. And so when you take the human element out and you're only reviewing an Excel sheet, I think that's a dangerous place to play. Because if you're reviewing the Excel sheets that I fill out, you might be like, hey, Jordy, your rates are pretty high, man. Or hey, these CPMs are way too high. I can't do that. We're not going to do a deal with you. you. Whereas Stu, you know, you could call me anytime. Hey, can we lower this to an XYZ CPM? Absolutely, Stu, whatever you need, man. Let's just make the deal happen. Let's make sure everyone's happy. Let's have everybody eat. And so those are the things that I've noticed, you know, sort of industry and macro wide that have been fun as, again, that quote unquote newbie into the world. And what I love about it, Stu, is what you said, that personal touch. You cannot overstate that. That will ultimately always shine through for the brands and then ultimately lead to the conversions that I think the brands and the buying groups and the networks are hopefully all looking for.
No question. You know, that's what I believe in. It's got to be real. And it takes time to develop that, I think, as well. But being able to bring that into any interaction in business, it's like Michael Scott said it best, business is always personal. But the conversation sometimes, I feel like if it's in that Excel sheet forward culture of just efficiency and only communicating in writing, stuff can get shut down a lot quicker as opposed to, hey, let's talk through this a little bit. Like, what if we were to do it this way? Or what if we were to do it that way? I feel like problem solving to me seems to get unlocked in conversation as well.
Could not agree more, Stu. And, you know, it's this whole texting culture that we live in, or email culture.
You've got mail.
You lose all sense of emotion and tone with an email or with a text. I don't know how much wiggle room I have to, like, how stern are you being in this instance? Or is there room to sort of, you know, negotiate and try and figure something out? So I just have to take everything at face value, unless we're on the phone, and then I could actually connect with you and really speak and hear you out and pick your brain and thoughts. I think problem solving is all about talking things out. And texting and Excel sheets and emails, they serve their purposes, don't get me wrong. But for emotional conversations where you're trying to really just work together, I think there's only so far those can go before you could just pick up the phone and talk to somebody. And then all of a sudden you understand and you're not interpreting like I'm sending a negative tone in this email or Jordy's being a jerk in this one. Like, what the heck? The Midas Touch Network sucks. No. We're here. I want to work with you. Let's figure it out. And, you know, whatever can happen will happen.
Yeah. And I mean, think about it. It's like people watch or listen to the Midas Touch Network to hear you and your brothers and your other hosts. You don't put up spreadsheets and write things on the screen. You guys are talking. Like, that's the way we like to interact with each other. So, like, let's do that, because the hosts are people, the audience are people, we're all people. And I was looking at some Pew research from last year that it's really cool. So about a half of Americans have listened to a podcast in the past year. This is from a year ago. We're on that trend, right? Every day, new folks are coming into the space. And about a third of podcast listeners have tried a lifestyle change because of a podcast they listen to. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about different political ideologies, and there's been a lot of people in the number of years that have gotten lost, so to speak, because to your point, the national news media is so divided that you don't know where can I find a place. And I think people listen to podcasts. It's a safe space. I can lean in. I can try maybe some new thinking. And then they really do try a lifestyle change based on something that they heard. I mean, how do you guys look at that and that responsibility, and even that you have that ability to influence people in that way?
We take it incredibly, incredibly serious. To your point, that human connection of, again, I like the title, hosts are people. Your audience are people, right? They're not just metrics or numbers or subscribers. That's an individual that you're communicating a very specific message with, who you develop a very specific relationship with over the course of a day, over the course of a week, to a month, to a year. It's so freaking important to really nourish those relationships in a meaningful way and understand the gravity of your audience, right? So we're doing 250 million views a month right now. In Playboard's charts that checks out all of YouTube channels and simulcast, for example, we rank number one ahead of Fox News, ahead of Mr. Beast, as the most popular channel in the United States. There's an immense amount of gravity and responsibility that I take on making sure that our audience that has consumed us is walking away with not like negative feelings about other people or other shared experiences, but literally just data and information of what's going on to help them inform their lives. We take the relationship and the messaging and just the human element very, very seriously at the Midas Touch Network.
And that really comes through how much you guys honor your audience and the responsibility as you continue to grow. And so congrats with that, and congrats for having that mindset.
Appreciate it, Stu.
Because the audience are people, right?
Absolutely.
But the name of this episode is The Hosts Are People Too. And so we look at top spenders in audio, but I wanted to base it on your own likes and dislikes. And Jordy, we had talked, you're into sports. So we're going to be listening to reads from sports podcasters. One of the recent top advertisers in podcasts using Magellan to identify who that is BetterHelp, with a spend level of approximately $9 million in January. And I've pulled four different spots of what seemed to be live read ads from four different podcasts. So we've got the Bill Simmons podcast, we've got New Heights with Jason and Travis Kelce, we've got the Dan Lebatard Show, and then one of your favorites, Colin Cowherd. These are all in the top podcasts for sports in Chartable. All right, we're going to start with the Dan Lebatard Show. This is a BetterHelp read. Here we go.
The Dan Lebatard Show with Stugatz is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. With more time available, individuals may find it easier to schedule therapy sessions without feeling rushed or overwhelmed. This can lead to more consistent attendance and greater engagement in the therapeutic process. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DLB today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DLB.
All right. What do you hear there?
It was a very clear read. The talking points were obviously very well articulated and it came across super clear. The messaging, nice takeaway there in the CTA. So from just a pure, did I hit everything perspective, knocked it out of the park. He hit everything. But here's my issue with it. And I don't know how they led up to the ad in the episode. It feels too much like an ad. Usually when you're doing a host read, one, that wasn't even Dan Lebatard. I don't listen to the show very consistently, but I'm like 99.9% sure that's not even Dan Lebatard, who's like the main namesake on the show, doing the read. What you want from the host doing the show is you're contracting them so the host does the read. That's why it's a host read, not a co-host read. No offense to whoever had been doing it, because again, I think they did a nice job articulating the clear talking points that, you know, were given them by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is one of our brands. We love BetterHelp. And I know those talking points inside and out. So I know very well that he hit everything that they wanted him to hit. My big knocks are it wasn't Dan Lebatard doing the read, right? There's no personal endorsement. I know therapy is a hard one to sort of personally endorse, especially if you haven't used BetterHelp or have gone through therapy in the past. But from a host, you usually try and rely on shared experiences to relate to your audience. And just hitting the talking points one by one, although very well communicated, I think you're losing a bit of that human element that I think a lot of hosts and a lot of listeners look for in a nice ad read. So that's what I liked about it. And then that was my beef with it, if you would.
Yeah, it was technically all there. It felt like it's missing that human touch, which is what you're talking about. And you can feel that. And it kind of sounds to me like one that probably is a pre-record where it's one of those that gets recorded kind of in the radio style of record a whole bunch of these. And then we're going to insert them dynamically into the show. I think from an Audiolytics standpoint, which is the framework that we use here at Oxford Road, it achieved a 68% from an Audiolytics standpoint. There's a couple things that it could do differently, but they're pretty much encapsulated in what you're talking about, which is like, can we get a personal endorsement? That would be massive, especially for something as intimate as this. Can we increase the urgency of like, why do I need to take action now? So it's like, okay, this was like thinking of sports. One of my daughters plays volleyball. You know, there's like the aggressive mode and then there's safe mode with a team. Like just safe mode, right? We're going to return shots. We're going to play consistently. Like to me, this ad read was safe mode.
Safe mode, you're not going to be asked for a make good or an added value, very technically sound. You hit all the talking points, exactly. Safe mode for sure.
The next one we have to listen to is from one of your favorite shows, Colin Cowherd, and this is from the most recent episode that had a BetterHelp spot in it. Here we go.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can bring out a whole new you, and BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/heard.
Okay. I didn't even know BetterHelp did 15s, to be honest. That was short, sweet, to the point. Not Colin Coward, though. In these instances, right, when I'm listening, especially to someone, again, who I really like their perspective on things, like a Coward, like a Bill Simmons, I feel that human element of the product when I hear them reading for it. Now, I know we're sort of sitting in this funny place in the middle of March for a lot of these sports podcasters. This is kind of the time of year where they do have a lot of fill-ins because just the nature of the Super Bowl's over, NBA regular season is still going, it's not the playoffs yet, MLB still hasn't started up. So this is almost like a little bit of their downtime where they try and, you know, take their vacations like the main host, which I find interesting. What I also find interesting about that perspective, though, is that then they have their co-hosts or whoever their fill-in is do the reads. And again, I think there's such a human element that you connect with your audience, given the day, week, month, or years that you're with them, that they like hearing it from you. They like hearing it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And so all of a sudden now, when you're giving this to a fill-in to read, one, as the brand, did I get my money's worth? I'm getting the audience, but that's just kind of half the battle in certain situations, right? Like, you're also contracting the talent as much as you're contracting the audience and sort of that mutual relationship that's been established. So the read was fine. It was quick, no personal endorsement. I mean, I'm sure he hit the 15 second talking points that needed to be hit. Did a nice job. I've listened to him before and I know his work and he's fabulous. So no knock on him. But if I'm going to the herd for Colin Coward, that's who I want to hear listening to the ads.
Yeah. I mean, when do we make that decision of, is it voiced by the host? Is it voiced by a producer? What is effective frequency? You know, 15s, I've seen 15s work very well. Or am I introducing something? Am I reinforcing it? Based on the nature of this conversation, hosts are people too. And looking at this, the Dan Le Batard show, nope, not Dan. The Colin Coward show, nope, not Colin. You know, it kind of makes me think, it's like, well, then would that ad unit be better served as doing something more breakthrough? If it's just going to be a voice talking, that's like, lean in, that ought to be the host. Like, that's the host. If it's not going to be the host, is there a different approach you could take to that exact same amount of time? But okay, just those two now, if we're going to stack one up against the other, which would you put above the other?
The first one. To your point earlier, what did we say? The more you tell, the more you sell. And at least with that first one, I heard more of what the product had. I heard more of what it was trying to communicate with the great brand talking points. The 15 was just, it was a little tight for me. Got the message across on the Coward show, but it didn't tell me enough about the product or what I could be expecting if I used the service. So the first one.
And right in line with that, the Audiolytics score on the Colin Coward one is 60%. And for the reasons you articulated, you can see why there are specific key components that we look for. It's just there's not enough time to talk about positioning. There's not enough time to talk about demonstration. There's not enough time to talk about substantiation. Can you hit all of those things in a 15? You can. You absolutely can. That's about making every word count. But so far, we're aligned. So let's listen to the next one from a powerhouse. This is New Heights with Jason and Travis Kelce. And here is their spot for BetterHelp.
Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough decisions.
Yeah.
And the path forward isn't always clear. Whether you're dealing with decisions around career, relationships, or you're experiencing that thing where you're trying to fall asleep and your brain suddenly won't stop talking. Mm. Well, it turns out one great way to make those racing thoughts go away is to talk through them.
Yeah. And therapy gives you a place to do that. So you get out of your negative thought cycles and find maybe some new mental and emotional peace. If you're thinking of starting therapy, please give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost.
Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NewHeights today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/NewHeights.
Right on, right on. New Heights guys, man. I love their short clips on TikTok and Instagram. I think they're great. I love Jason and Travis. They're funny guys, man. I really liked it. And I could be wrong with this. I've watched the podcast. I kind of more so look at the clips that they post on social more than I watch or listen to the full long form. But I think they take a similar approach that we do at the Midas Touch Network, which is let's record these in a nice way where everybody's looking their best. We can make the brand look their best by making sure that we clearly articulate the talking points, and we as the host look the best so we're not stumbling and mumbling over our words when we're trying to communicate whatever we're trying to communicate. So with theirs, what I really liked was how they played off of each other a little bit, how they kind of tossed the ball, how Jason would toss it to Travis, and each one of them would get in on the reads. I think you're getting some great bang for your buck when you're getting both hosts sort of play off of each other in that way. I would have loved, and I think they did a fabulous job. Hit all the talking points. points, clear CTA, very articulate, very just like to the point. And I understood exactly what they were talking about. But these are football guys that with probably like some intense experiences in their own life. Again, BetterHelp, fabulous brand, therapy at large, right? Super important. And I think the conversation around therapy has been stigmatized in the past where people are afraid to sort of talk about whether or not they use therapy or their therapeutical experiences, if you will. But what I would love to see, knowing that it's 2024 now, and I think that stigma has all but left, which is just great for society at large, you know, having people be open to talk about therapy and their experiences with it. They're football guys. They've probably lived through some intense experiences of their own. Just try and relate it back to that, if you would, right? Like, were they ever going through a hard time personally or professionally where they needed to talk to a team therapist and how much that helped them? Doesn't have to be super specific. It could kind of be vague. I think that sort of human connection though to the service, and it doesn't even have to be BetterHelp specific. It could just be therapy specific. And then relating it back to how BetterHelp could do what therapy did for me, for you in this way. It's entirely online. I think I would have loved to have seen that, but they did a great job. They hit all the points. They played off of each other well. Everything was clearly articulated. So they did really nice. I would have just loved to see some of that personal experience come through.
And I think that that's a delicate part of like hosts or people too, in asking to reveal personal information. But there's a way where, again, if you can get on the phone and you can have a conversation to encourage a little touch like that. Like, hey, listen, BetterHelp does all of these things it says here in these talking points. I know for me before a game, I've got thoughts running through my head. Turns out that a way to deal with a lot of those kind of thoughts is this. And that's not the host saying that they do it.
Yeah, exactly. Because to your point and to what we talked about earlier, therapy for a lot of people could be a touchy subject. And you know, I know it's a very vulnerable position for a lot of folks to be in, but for something that I think warrants that level of severity or responsibility when you're marketing a product like that, if there is any way at all to relate it back to your shared experiences as the host, I think the audience would be more receptive to that.
Yeah. And I think that also it's like Travis Kelce would need to believe that what BetterHelp does is good for people. Truly.
Exactly. Yeah. He can't force it because one, the audience would know that he was forcing it or wasn't true to him, but also more so like you never want to misrepresent what you're trying to put forward for your audience and what you're saying. So yeah, he would actually need to believe it. And if he doesn't, that's fine. And maybe that's why they went that route. But you know, most likely it wasn't even told or recommended to them to potentially add some of that personal touch.
And that's where I think it's like amazing. It's almost like performance is on the other end of inefficiency in the sense of it's inefficient to have that one more additional conversation, to look at the copy together, to go, hey, what if we, not just to look at it black and white, like, did they read exactly what we said, but to go like, we just had this moment where we creatively are listening to this read and going, hey, maybe he could say like this one thing. It's like, that's an inefficient process. So thank you for partaking in this inefficient process with me, Jordy. And now we are going to do one more from your favorite show, from Bill Simmons.
It is actually my favorite show. I'm not going to lie. It's my favorite sports show. Can I just say this about Bill Simmons? Like, you know, when you get asked like, hey, if you were to do dinner with somebody, who would you want to do dinner with? For me, it would be Bill Simmons. I think the guy has totally transformed what this space is and what it means to be sort of a digital network in 2024. The way he works The Ringer, the way he works his entire network from a sports perspective, the proof is in the pudding. Like, he just signed a crazy deal with, I think it was Spotify or HBO not too long ago. And just the way he runs that network, runs the websites, runs the various podcasts on it, I think he does a fabulous job. And then he's a host on his own network with the Bill Simmons podcast. So a lot of that sort of human experiences coming through and connectivity points for your audience to sort of be able to touch, whether it's you're the founder of the network who's also a host of a podcast, or you just like the content that's being produced on the website. It's a nice 360 degree of sports. So kudos to Bill Simmons, man. I want to meet him someday.
I think that's probably quite possible for you. You could probably meet him tomorrow. Let's see how he does here with BetterHelp.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. One common misconception about any type of relationship is that it has to be easy to be right. The truth is, the best relationships happen when both people put in the time, love, and commitment to make them great. That might look like scheduling regular calls to keep up with a long-distance friend, improving communication with a partner, adapting to a colleague's working style, or reconciling a difference in values with a parent. I think the best relationship I've had is probably with my daughter, because especially from a sports standpoint, being the overbearing sports parent and then learning how to just be a parent, just to be there when they need you and to be somebody's friend. Working on the relationships, whatever you have, they aren't easy. Sometimes you need a little support to navigate the most difficult and challenging parts, and that's where therapy can help. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp offers convenient, affordable online therapy. You can start the process in minutes. You can switch therapists anytime for no charge. So there are so many different kinds of relationships in your life, right? Give them all some love with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BillSimmons today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BillSimmons.
How do you show up?
Okay, bias aside, because now we all know how I feel about the guy. That's an A-plus read right there. That's an A-plus-plus read. He talks about his experience as a parent, potentially being an overbearing sports parent. I think it's funny in the sense that he's able to relate it in the sense of what the content of his podcast is about, which is sports. He's doing the read as the host. I think, again, he takes an approach that we take, which is, let me not do this live while I'm so caught up in the emotion of the topics that I'm talking about in the podcast, but let me take this a breather and let me get my talking points and how I want to communicate this message. Like, let me film this separately and then I'll bake it in as a mid-roll. So these aren't like dynamically inserted ads in the sense that they're just kind of like random people speaking, right? You're kind of getting the best of both worlds in this instance where he's going away from the content for a hot second to hit break. And now he's going to communicate this wonderful story that he's able to sort of message, which with ever product he's sort of putting forth, whether it be BetterHelp for him, or I know he's a big Simply Safe guy too, that he does a lot of nice reads for as well. I try and take a lot of actually my cues of how I do the reads on the Midas Touch Network from Bill, because he really does do a nice job of adding that personal element, relating it back to the audience in some way, and making sure again though that you're doing the brand right, that you're hitting all the talking points, clear CTA. Everybody in this relationship is going to mutually benefit. And so A++ read, by far the best read we've gone over today.
No question. And yeah, your bias aside, I mean, there's also like the Winston Churchill quote, I'm a man of simple tastes. I'm easily satisfied with the best. So, you know, you like Bill Simmons because he's the best. And he did it. And his Audiolytics score was by far the highest, came in at 82%. The New Heights was 70%. Dan Le Batard was 68%. Colin Coward is 60%. And that seems to line up with your ranking as well.
I would pretty much nail it. Exactly.
Yeah, Bill Simmons nailed it. He's got the personal touch. In the Heights, you've got that interchange. You know, there's a report from Odyssey from last year where having two voices increases recall by 10%, right? So having two voices when you can have interactivity, that increases recall. Then Dan Le Batard, even though it was in safe mode, we got more message transmitted. And then Colin Coward, we had that 15-second spot. So that's how they line up. Thank you for ranking these sports podcasts together.
Heck yeah. I'm glad we got them in the order, too, of which they perform. I take some pride in that. I know who does good reads.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, there's lots of different lenses we can use. So hopefully if I can just be objective about the signals I'm getting from the data set or from the phenomena that I'm watching, then someone else, even if they're using a different system, but they're just relying on what is before them, we're actually going to land at the same spot. And that's what I see with Ad Infinitum time and time again, and having advertising professionals and having hosts on, is that even though we might list the parts with different names, in general, we end up being able to recognize the same things. And so specifically for this, hosts are people too, for our chief audio officers. You know, here we are with a host as our guest listening to these, and we've heard four different ads. Not a single one of them, though, had a true personal endorsement. Now, I will caveat that with, this is a more challenging product, but not a single one of these had, I use this and you should too. I think Bill Simmons got the closest. How do you navigate that? I want to end this for the chief audio officers. As a host, when you can't wear the product and say, I've worn this, it's really comfortable, I like it. When you can't do that, how do you get as close to a personal endorsement as you can of, I use this and you should too?
Here's the thing. Every product on the network, myself or my brothers, has touched or felt or actually used. We make it our mission to make sure that we are doing that, that we're subscribing to the service, that we know how the ins and outs of it work. And I think that is actually the step that a lot of hosts and networks need to take when it's allotted to them, is that personal experience and endorsement is so freaking important that you as the podcast, me as a podcast host and co-founder of the Midas Touch Network, I need to take this relationship as seriously as this brand is investing in my podcast, because that's how everybody wins. I need to be able to be almost a customer representative for the product that we're putting forward, to really understand that, one, I believe in what the heck it is that I'm putting forward, and two, that the product actually will resonate with my audience with some, you know, human element or connection. So I'm not just selling them a false bag of goods, that I could actually plant my flag and say, I've used this, I've done this, and here's how. So we make it a priority to make sure that we are going that extra mile for our sponsors, that we are subscribing to the services, that we are using the products. You know, we're watching tutorials any way we can. And that's why I rely so heavily on the brands to meet me back, you know, that halfway mark with that mutual relationship and give me the clear 8 to 15 bullets of what you definitely want communicated during the reads. So then I can interface and interact with the product and I know exactly how you want me to market it. And then I'll marry up everything and be able to relate and talk to it so my audience understands it and feels good about it.
And that comes through again. I mean, you guys are top of your game. And so hearing that approach is for the chief audio officer, it's like, look for this kind of approach from your hosts and from the programs that you're doing business with. And then if you don't see these sort of exceptional behaviors, request them. And also know that not everybody's going to be going the extra mile like you do, Jordy, at the Midas Touch Network. It calls back to me that, you know, Aristotle 2000 plus years ago goes, how do I persuade people? Let me see. And he said, pathos, ethos, and logos, right? And where we've landed, like post-Renaissance, like where we're at is like, most things get broken down to in a message of emotion versus reason, right? So like my pathos versus my logos. It's incredible to me that the third leg of persuasion that had equal footing with emotion and reason, which even in itself is kind of like, I'm not totally on board with looking at it that way. Nevertheless, is ethos. Ethos, why should I believe you? Because I have a relationship with you and your audience has a relationship with you as a host, right? And then why should you believe it? Because you have a relationship with a brand. And so it's like, that's the inefficiency of ethos, is that it takes time to get a person on board to trust, to believe, to send a host a video to go, hey, I get it. This is a cloud-based ERP system for businesses. Okay, not going to be something you guys necessarily need. Or if you did, that's a pretty long process to make a switch to a system like that. Can we get them on the phone with a customer service person? Can we give them a tour of the plant so that you believe it and have that ethos, and then you can transfer that ethos to your audience?
Exactly. And I think as long as everyone can sort of be met halfway in these relationships, you know, everybody's going to eat. That mentality is going to shine through in the sense that the brand will go back to the buying group to re-up with the podcast or the network, and everyone's going to be happy and everyone's going to win. And most of all, the audience is going to win because one, they're not getting boring reads. Two, they're getting great products at great, fabulous discounts. And three, they're just going to have a more enjoyable user experience with whichever show that they're watching, that they don't have to skip through the ads every time because it feels like they're just reading down a page. So again, I think as long as everyone could just be held to the highest standard that they'll set for themselves, that they wish that the other people would set for themselves, that they hold themselves to that standard, everyone's going to win. It's going to be a highly productive environment for everybody.
Yeah, it'll pull everybody up to that level. Or if you don't qualify and don't want to play at that level, that's okay. There's no judgment. It's a line in the sand of going, where do you stand? And like you said, it's like the Howard Gossage quote on advertising, that we're not taking out a hunting license. When anybody gets an ad on your show, we're not taking out a hunting license. We're performing on a stage. So we might as well make it enjoyable for these people. And you guys do that masterfully in your reads, which I'm sure will probably pop up on other episodes of Ad Infinitum for other people to critique. But thank you, Jordan, for joining Ad Infinitum.
Thank you, Stu. I love it. And I'm open, by the way, future Ad Infinitum hosts or co-hosts or, you know, guests, feel free to tear into the ads. That's how we learn. That's how everybody gets better. I love the experience today, Stu. Thank you so much for having me on, man. This podcast is phenomenal. I think it's actually wonderful for the industry to be able to have these open dialogues and conversations about reads and where people can improve, because honestly, it's a reflective moment for myself where, do I see myself in this podcast, or this podcast that I'm ranking here, you know, and I want to be towards the top. Well, who am I more closely aligned with, or where's the standard that I'm setting for myself and my shows? So it was a wonderful experience. I love the show, man. Thank you so much for having us, and super excited.
Thank you. And that's the right attitude. That's an awesome point of view to bring to ranking them, is which one of these am I? And that is exactly the right attitude. If we can be a lens for CAOs to help test and scale an audio better, then we have done our job here on Ad Infinitum. So thanks again, Jordy. And if you've got aspects of audio advertising you'd like us to discuss, or suggestions for a guest for the show, or want to be a guest, please email creative@oxfordroad.com. And until our next show, remember to have fun making the ads work.